to the Mass Effect Hypecast. I am Morgan, aka Bond Diesel, and this is a podcast about Mass Effect, the future of BioWare's premier franchise, and all of our speculation and ideas for the next game. This is a special episode where I spoke to Sam, or N7 Legend, from the Mass Effect Lorecast over there on Robots Radio with Tom, and we spent about an hour and a half talking about N7 Day, what we think about everything, what we thought about the reveals, and kind of some things about what we think about the future of the game. This is going to be in two parts. We talked for quite a while. This is part one. I cut it fairly abruptly in the middle, and then another video or another episode of the podcast will be part two, and clearly labeled. That part two has some exclusive new information about both Dreadwolf and the next Mass Effect game from a sourced BioWare, person who knew things. So if you want the full context, go ahead and listen to that second episode especially, but both of them are definitely worth listening to. A few things before that gets started. On YouTube, please subscribe to the channel, consider becoming a member, hit the like button if you like the podcast, and comment down below or subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. A special thank you to all of the patrons and YouTube members, including producer levels, Hassan and YouTubes, and supporter levels, Neuronix, PK, Cage Nephilim, and Horseman. If you're interested in supporting this podcast for as little as $1 per month, please check out patreon.com/bonddiesel or become a member over on YouTube. Let's jump into the podcast. Welcome to the Mass Effect Hypecast. So today I have Sam with me from the Mass Effect Lorecast, the prolific lore plus other stuff, that podcast that does a lot of really in-depth analysis. Sam is also known as N7 Legend, and I'm very happy to have him on the show again. We've spoken at least once. I swear you've been on twice, though. I'd have to go back and look, but maybe it was just after.
It was twice.
Okay.
Once for N7 Day.
Okay. And then, and so we thought we would come back together after this last N7 Day and kind of spill all the beans on what we think about what we saw last week and kind of how we're feeling about, maybe how things are moving forward and what we're expecting with all of that. So, with all that said, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Bon. It's great to be here. And yeah, we talked once N7 Day before, and then once just on my first appearance on the show. But it's great to be back. We're right in the swing of some football season too. So it's my favorite season of the year. And N7 Day just happened 11 days ago from when we're recording this.
Yeah, and that's going to be the primary focus of our talk today. We'll also be hitting some of the aftermath and our own thoughts, and maybe even try to hit up a little bit what we think is going to be happening in the future. But to do a little behind-the-scenes work here, we had spoken before this N7 Day even happened and planned on doing this conversation at some point. And I wanted to kind of quickly get your take on how you were feeling about this, because after we saw everything last week and after everything kind of calmed down, you let me know like, hey, actually, I don't want to talk about this. And I'm just kind of curious to get your thoughts to why that was at the time. And then obviously you changed your mind because we're here now.
Right. Well, like many in the Mass Effect community, I tried to temper my hopes going into N7 Day because I knew that they hadn't yet, BioWare hadn't yet released a lot of information on Dreadwolf. So it was, we would be lucky to find any kind of kernels of information on Mass Effect. And that being said, I tried to temper my hopes, try not to get too worked up about it beforehand, knowing full well we'd probably not get much. And lo and behold, we didn't get much. The way in which we didn't get much, the teasers were drip fed. I was at work. I caught up afterward. Teasers were drip fed 5 seconds, 6 seconds at a time. Full video gets released. I watch it after work, and it is a 34 second video. 21 seconds of it is actual content because the rest is title tags and disclaimers. And I thought, you know what? This is yet another year where the marketing team at EA is dangling a carrot in front of us, and I got really demoralized. You know, it's been how many years in a row where we really haven't had any details about the narrative of the next Mass Effect confirmed or even denied.
Sure.
So I have a lot more thoughts, you know, on that that we can get into later, but that's why initially I told you, you know what, I don't want to talk about it right now. I keep in mind too, with me hosting the Mass Effect Lorecast and my own Discord, I'm pretty prominent in the Mass Effect community, or at least I try to be.
Sure. Yeah, no, I get it.
I had a lot of people asking me what I thought. And at that time, I was so filled with negativity that I couldn't really be fair to the game, the fan base. And I didn't think that putting my raw emotions out there at that time would have really added anything to the conversation except vitriol that people were already getting a lot of on social media.
Yeah, the thing is, and we'll get into each of the individual parts of what happened on N7 Day, but the overall feeling I was left with was interesting because I went in over the last couple of years. I've actually been pretty happy with the teasers the last couple of years. I thought that 2020 trailer still gives me goosebumps. I still love that trailer. The 2021 poster was interesting, and I think that was like just enough for the time. And then even last year, I was surprised with, I actually enjoyed looking at like some of the concept art and stuff that they kind of hid. That was what I enjoyed that. I thought that was cool. And this year I was expecting something kind of like last year. And my main issue with this year, and we'll get into the details of why I feel this way, is that I felt like we had gotten enough little tidbits that you could do my favorite word, which is educated speculation. That you can, we don't know anything. Everything we've seen could be wrong. Everything could get thrown out. They could, you know, change, go different directions during development, which hasn't started yet, as they've reinforced multiple times. But you can still like have a little fun with it and have some hopes for things. And my issue after the end of this N7 day is that even the educated speculation I had before and any of the little theories I had and everything, I feel like I know less now than I did before. I feel like I have more questions now, and before I felt like I could be like, well, you know, it's probably going to be set, you know, in this particular time frame because we've seen this and we've seen that. And now after this N7 day, for better or worse, I have nothing left. I have no theories. I have no expectations. And it's not like a negative thing. I'm super excited about whatever ends up happening with this one day. We'll get into that discussion as well. But like, I guess my biggest thing is just where before I had these kind of fun theories and stuff I was kind of excited about, nothing remains. I have no theories. I have no ideas. And for various reasons, I don't even want to. So I guess, you know, before we get into the nitty gritty, how would you say that this N7 day and some of the things surrounding it have left you just kind of your high level feelings about the current project, the next game, just kind of in general?
Well, you know, I have a multi-pronged answer for that. Number one, I think it's been great for the Mass Effect marketing team because people are talking about it. And there's been no shortage of new merchandise advertised on the BioWare store afterward, which doesn't exactly play well.
Unfortunately, a bunch of it's back there.
Number two, for the BioWare development team, my understanding is that developers are artists at heart, and they don't really want to show off things typically before they're done. So I can't imagine that the people who are working on the game are too psyched about having too many prying eyes looking into a work very early in progress, if at all. And number three, for me, I've had some time to have my emotions settle since N7 Day, but even still, like you, I'm looking back at some of my earlier theories that I had, and I'm thinking, you know what? I don't know shit. Sorry, I don't know if I can curse on this, but I don't know anything. And I am accepting more responsibility as a Mass Effect content creator for the message that I'm putting out to our listeners on the Lorecast, to your listeners right now, and I feel a certain level of responsibility to be that grounded voice of reason in the wake of a barrage of marketing. So I guess I feel like, you know, hey, I'm still excited for the next game, but I'm not gonna lie to people. You know, I'm not gonna act like, you know, this symbol and this game definitely means this, because again, we haven't had anything at all confirmed or denied by the Mass Effect team.
Yeah, I think this is it comes into play for me where this is one of many cycles I've gone through of games I'm excited for that aren't out yet, and then the lead up to those games. So in my previous coverage of games like The Division and The Division 2, well, that was a fairly short cycle that I had to go through. I am one that I'm always really excited to have hype and speculate and stuff about all of that. But I've also learned enough about the game industry that I try to make sure and make it clear that we may never see Mass Effect. You know, the way we've seen the industry this year, and I would never wish this on the game or the studio or anyone, but like I have lots of hype and I love speculating and talking about this stuff. But I never let it get to the point where, you know, everything we've seen so far, if this next game, when it comes out one day and it ends up being nothing like what we've seen so far, I'm going to be totally fine with that. Whatever. You know, I'm having fun doing the speculation and all of that and making my YouTube videos and zooming in 1000% into that little thing. Yes. Where at the same, and I guess, and the problem is that there's a lot of people who do get really into that and get so locked on to those things and these in 7 days and this type of hype and teasing. And then 7 years later, when the game finally comes out, it doesn't have that one thing that they wished for the last 7 years, and it's the end of the world. I can keep myself from being there, but the problem is a lot of people can't. And that's where these kind of hype cycles and stuff, for someone like me, I'm not going to be bothered. Whatever. I'm fine, you know. But what they, and the reason I think kind of what you're getting at a little bit is that there is like a sense of responsibility they have to the more, and I hate the word, but like the casual fans or the people who don't know life, all of this stuff and constantly pay attention to it and, you know, almost become dead to it a little bit. Like I would say I have, you know, there's some Mass Effect fans, there's millions of them out there still, who they may have gotten a glimpse of what we saw last, you know, during the N7 day. And now that's their whole understanding of the future of the game. And it may mean nothing. And so, and I guess the other point I have about how I'm feeling about things moving forward is this, especially since this last N7 day, and I'm curious of your thoughts on this. I think my recency into my introduction to the franchise with being the Legendary Edition, being the first time I've ever played, has really impacted the way I have interpreted all of this, because I've been excited for this stuff for 2 years. Where OG fans who started playing the series in 2007, like 2008, and have been in this fandom and went through, you know, the wait after, or went through the saga that was Mass Effect 3, and then the wait for Andromeda, and then what was Andromeda, and then the wait since then, I understand why, especially that group of people probably has a really different take than I do. And I'm kind of curious to what you think about that, with, because there probably are a lot of people like me who are newer to the series, and, you know, our anticipation is a toddler compared to the, you know, the OG fans who their fandom can drive now, you know, is a middle teenager.
Yeah. I'm tired. I told you, I think we talked about it before.
Is your face tired?
My face is very tired. In fact, I'm not just, you know, in terms of my age of fandom, I'm not just old enough to drive. I'm about as old as Drac, it feels like, drama. And that's how it feels, because I'm tired, you know. Loved the OT, waited for Andromeda to come out. There were a number of issues with Andromeda. Actually, some issues that I've since learned about because of people I know who worked on the series. But I'm now tired of the marketing because you know, I have been a fan, and many other people have been a fan of this series longer than a lot of the people who are working on it have worked on it. No thanks to the recent layoffs from BioWare.
Sure.
Or at EA. So, you know, just to sum it up, I'm tired because year after year, we're being dangled this carrot in front of, you know, strung along until, you know, and then they release a 30-second whatever video that reveals very little, and it buys them another 365 days for people to keep talking about Mass Effect and keep it in the vernacular until they release another cryptic video, which lasts another 365 days of heated online debate. And all the while, Mass Effect is maintaining relevancy, which, if you're a marketer, is a wet dream. Yeah. But if at some point, I think their administration needs to ask themselves, is this fair to the fan base? And ultimately, I don't know if that's the first, and I don't know if that's the primary population they're concerned about. I think they're more concerned about investors at this point.
I mean, there has to be at least some acknowledgement that if we've seen what's been going on in the game industry this year, where I believe the number now, at least the recorded number, is something like more than 7,000 known layoffs in the industry in 2023. Mind you, a year that many are going to consider the best year in gaming ever. When you look at the number and the quality of games that have come out this year, you know, it's been a great year for games. It's been a pretty awful year for game devs. And when you have a studio like BioWare that hasn't had, arguably, a big hit since 2013, I think it's fair to argue that Dragon Age Inquisition wasn't a bad time. So, you know, maybe they've had some good results more recently than that. But when you look at the fact that their two most recent releases were at least critical failures in Anthem and Andromeda. I want to say failures in general. I'm under the impression that Andromeda actually did okay financially, that it sold probably off of the hype and the excitement of the trilogy actually sold decently. But, you know, no one's out there, you know, acting like Andromeda was a critical success. And you have a studio that since then is now in a multiple rebooted, multiple internally delayed Dragon Age Dreadwolf game. A part of them putting this stuff out is probably kind of trying to pressure EA to continue the project. I mean, that is a little bit of security for them to say, hey, remember, we're making a Mass Effect. So if any of the EA folks are paying attention, look how many people want that game. We're still in pre-production. We haven't even started production on it yet.
Are you saying these people are justifying their jobs to EA?
And justifiably to a point. Like, I get it. I would do it. I do it every now and then at work. I try
Everyone
to remind them.
It. When the budget's tight.
But the point you made is very smart. And I think it's why you have to go into these things understanding that in 7 Day is a, sure, it's a celebration for the community as much as that corporation says that we're all a family. Like, it's kind of that same idea of it is a celebration. And we see a bunch of people that we know and each other. You know, it's a fun day to be like, man, I do love that franchise. But we have to remember that from their perspective, it's a marketing thing. Like you said, this has been, you know, we'll get into the long term of what this is going to mean for this next game. But, I mean, the very example I think you made is we have seen more about, I don't want to say we know more about, because I don't think we know anything, but we've seen more about this Mass Effect game that isn't in production yet than the Dragon Age game that is probably coming out like next summer. And the only thing we've seen of that is, I think, 3 cinematic trailers spanning back to 2018 and a couple minutes of, I think it was kind of confirmed, leaked QA game footage that was literally a guy swinging a sword. It wasn't, and you know, I don't think BioWare ever acknowledged that, so I don't know. But, and that's it. And so, I don't know. I guess that's kind of where I fall at this point of, it's obviously marketing, and I feel bad for Dragon Age fans.
And you have to think that whenever BioWare or EA decides to put out and put together these teasers, that takes man hours, right? So that's money that they're paying people to do this stuff. So therefore, it's not a willy-nilly, hey, you know, the fans deserve this. It's meant for a goal. There's always an objective, and it's typically a marketing-related objective. So if they're putting out this much about Mass Effect, then leadership at some level must be convinced that they're going to have some kind of ROI, return on investment, for the effort that they're putting into this stuff. I've seen claims before that Mass Effect fans spend more money on average on game and non-game related things than Dragon Age fans do. I don't know how true that is.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that the level of Mass Effect merch in the BioWare store, which is, by the way, managed by a contractor, it's not BioWare itself.
Yep.
The level of Mass Effect merch and the variety and diversity and rotating new items is astounding. And last time I checked the BioWare store, they had a lot more Mass Effect merch up there than they did Dragon Age merch. So yep. I don't know what we can glean from that, if anything, but I think that it just kind of goes back into the fact that as fans, we can get excited. We can have these in 7 days. We can look at what's released and speculate all we want. But at the end of the day, we need to remember that all of these things are being done for a reason.
And speaking of those things, let's talk about the blog. So this year, what I would actually say is the blog was kind of a nothing burger, where I think last year there was, you know, the concept art they put into the headers of the sections, the little video at the end. You know, there was some stuff to kind of have fun with and look at. This one, I remember opening it up, of course, scrolling quickly to the bottom and seeing what was there, and then being like, oh, okay, that's fine. And then I went back up to the top and actually read it. And I want to read the second paragraph in this little letter that is from Mike Gamble, who's the franchise director and executive producer. And I think this is what I mostly want to talk about with the blog. So I believe this is talking about the process of them working on this next Mass Effect game. Mike says, that process is equal parts rewarding and challenging. We've asked ourselves many of the same questions you've asked us over the years. What happened to everyone you know and love in the games? Who died? Who had kids with whom? What does a baby Volus sound like? What about all the galaxies? The endings? What the heck is going on with our Asari scientist turned shadow broker? What about... Never mind, you get the idea. And of course, to those questions, there are answers. But you'll have to wait to hear them. And anything we say won't be easy to find, just like you have come to expect from our hashtag in 7 day teases.
So they're aware that they're being cheeky, and they're aware that they're drip feeding this stuff. That's what that tells me, that it's not just, you know, it almost makes it more insulting, to be honest, as a Mass Effect fan. I don't know. This is the stuff that pisses me off.
Sure.
Because that tells us zero. That tells us this much about what the next game is going to be, what stage of development they're in. You know, no indicator about setting time, place, when this is going to happen. And then, oh my God, look at that below it. It's got all these different ads for the Mass Effect merch. Give us your money.
And I believe, I'm scrolling through it again, I think this is the first time they've released a blog that mentioned the next game, but didn't mention the stage of production, which we most recently, during the layoff blog, which was a super fun thing to get back in August, it did reiterate that Mass Effect is in pre-production. Now, that's a pretty broad term. Yeah, it's very, very broad. But what's interesting about this to me is that they... And we'll get into this once we talk about some of the other parts of what they showed us. But to me, it's they're really hitting the oldies. They're hitting the classics by doing the who survived. Like, oh, we don't know who survived. Like, and a part of me almost wonders sometimes if they write that being like, hey, who do you guys need to survive to be happy? Like, please just tell us. But I think the thing that really digs at me the most, being a player who, when I had theories about this game still, and I don't anymore. I'm a big proponent as I want Shepard back for one more game. I think that's due to my recency to the franchise. It's still fresh to me. I haven't been playing with the same guy for 15 years or the same gal, depending on what you play. And that little thing at the end, the like you said, the cheeky, what about S? And then, oh, never mind. You get the idea. Like you said before, the marketing side, cool. This is a perfect marketing thing. But for people wanting to know literally anything about this next game, this is only more frustrating because it leaves you, at least with me and some of the people I chatted with, it leaves you being like, wait, are you guys going to answer these questions? Like, can you at least confirm you're going to answer these questions? Like, and it doesn't. I mean, you know, that this doesn't, there's no guarantee. I just, like you said, it's, I try to look at things from an optimistic point of view. It's just games. Games are, whatever. There's no reason to be mad about games, right? There's lots of other things to be mad about in our lives. But this is one of those things where it's hard not to be a little frustrated.
I'm more than a little frustrated because I'm not pissed off at Mass Effect. I'm pissed off at the people that are doing this. Because if you don't have anything to say, why even bring it up? You know what I mean? A good example, recent example, is do you remember the year where we got the poster? And it was the, image, the caricature, not caricature, but basically portrait of a Geth with a crash site.
A reference, a heavy reference, sure.
Yep. I thought that they said just enough with that, you know? And now it almost feels like someone somewhere is pressing the development team to put something out. Sure. And they're still in the idea process. You know, they don't want to say anything and then have to walk it back later. So I feel for them on that regard. But and I know it must be incredibly difficult to have any kind of backbone against upper management if they're telling you that when you're just looking at all the layoffs that happened. So I'll talk directly to upper management. You got to knock it off with this shit because you're alienating your fan base, or at least you're alienating the people who have been around since day one. Maybe not the people who are fresh into the series.
Sure.
But you're also like putting out content that is really not even, it's less valuable than YouTube clickbaiters. It's less valuable than that. Because they are the voice of authority on this, Bon. And it's like they're willfully walking away from that duty of authority. People look to them for the answers, not the questions.
Sure.
You know? So, yeah, that's why it bugs me.
It's definitely a less is more thing. And it's kind of funny that in hindsight, I actually really had a lot of fun with the 2022 and 7 day. I thought there was lots of fun little things to speculate and talk about for a long time. But I almost wish that this one would have been much more similar to 2021 with that poster. Because if you go back and read that blog, they basically are like, yep, we're doing pre-production. And that's all before that whole blog is a celebration of the Legendary Edition and of the franchise. And then it actually wasn't even in that blog initially. I don't even know if it is now. But that poster, I don't think even got posted in the blog. I think that was my gamble after it was posted. Just put it on Twitter. And was like, oh, here's an extra thing. And that was perfect, especially in hindsight. Because, like you said, that gave us just enough. It was fun to look at, to zoom. Again, like I said before, to do my 1000% zoom. Like, oh, is that a Turian? Or is that Ryder? You know, whatever. Is that a dead Geth? Is that a dead Corey? You know, and in hindsight, it is funny how that one, because it was so understated, it was just a poster. I've got it right there. I'm one of the idiots. Now, to be fair, I bought it with like points. I didn't actually pay for it, but still. And it is funny, the contrast. And then what you were saying. So that's all I really have to say about the blog, unless you have anything big other than that. I don't think there's much more to say about it.
No. And in fact, I don't want to give it more airtime than it deserves.
Sure. Yeah. Now, what I will mention about it is that when I did first pull this up, I was one of the people on it. I was working from home that day and working, let's be honest. But I did know this, and you can see it now if you look at it, that everything but the letter from Mike at the beginning has a bunch of random ones and zeros in it. Whoever their puzzle master is over there, I'm not going to say this was the most creative thing I've ever seen. You know, simple binary wasn't really maybe as cryptic as I hoped it would be, at least because last year with that little video, I don't know how people decrypted that voice thing. I don't have those skills or that knowledge. I assume it wasn't that challenging. People did it pretty quickly. But I felt like that was at least a little more creative than them just throwing a few ones and zeros into this. But for you, since you were kind of just paying attention to it from the side, for better or worse, I have a VOD on my channel right now, on my YouTube channel, that is 3.5 hours long, where right before the first segment of the trailer got put out, which we're going to start talking about, I went live saying, oh boy, here it is. Here's the big, exciting thing they're going to do. And I streamed for 3.5 hours and I sat and waited. So I don't know if you know the timelines. So they did the first little 5-second thing. And then there was an hour countdown for the next one. And then that second one came down and it was another 5 seconds-ish. And then it was a 2-hour countdown. And I sat on that stupid stream the entire time because whatever. Needless to say, if you ever look at the VOD, you can see my final feelings at the end of it. I was, you know, not super pleased, even though I did think it was kind of interesting. But the things that were interesting during those waiting times is after the countdowns were over, they would have these little kind of cryptic screens on there. And after the first one, which I think was probably the thing that got people going the most, there was a reference to a Andromeda distress signal. After the second timer was up, it popped up a little thing that talked about, it referenced briefing materials on Alliance comms channels. And then after the third countdown was over, it popped up a thing talking about a security breach and contacting the Alliance. I will tell you from my own experience and just from catching social media and stuff like that, the response to an Andromeda distress signal was interesting. And I guess even because I think you and I were kind of on the same picture or the same place last year of, yeah, they're obviously going to reference Andromeda at some point in this next game, but I would like this to be a Milky Way game. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I was definitely one who was hoping this was going to be like a true Milky Way sequel to what happened in 3. And obviously, especially from what Mike has said, they were going to reference Andromeda. But this Andromeda distress signal, it doesn't confirm anything, as we've talked about multiple times already. But what did you think, if you saw that, what did that kind of signal to you?
You know, I said a long time ago when we first started the Lorecast, in fact, it may have been like Mass Effect Lorecast Episode 1, that they could potentially try and link both universes in the next Mass Effect game. And my greatest fear for that seems to be more and more likely. So they've again referenced Andromeda, the Andromeda distress signal, like you said. I didn't see that, but they referenced this Andromeda thing, but there's been so many repeated images of things from the Milky Way, right? So I think it's fair to say that there's going to have, you know, some kind of bearing of the Milky Way, maybe Andromeda 2, unless these are purely symbols meant to just evoke memories and they don't mean anything for the next game. Now, that would be an unprecedented level of misleading, and in which case I would feel like someone should be tried for those crimes.
Sure.
But let's, you know, just for the sake of fun, let's speculate about if that means anything at all. The Andromeda plus Milky Way thing. Now, back to what I was mentioning, episode 1 of the Mass Effect Lorecast, I mentioned they could get around having to address any of the endings of Mass Effect 3 if they go the whole, we are going so far in the future and all the events were lost to time and no one really knows what happened. And the only way that Milky Way races, unless there was some other fictitious development that they've created, the only way that Milky Way races could have received a distress signal from Andromeda would be so far, hundreds of years in the future, because remember, it took 600 years to get there to Andromeda. So if they do that, if they go so far in the future that, well, the legend of Shepard really exists as only a myth now, and what truly happened on the Crucible, that has been lost to time, and, you know, there's disputing accounts and blah, blah, blah. If they go that route, they're going to piss off a lot of people, because that is a lazy sidestep to try and make it so that, yeah, it's a sequel, but we didn't really want to canonize anything, and we didn't really want to decanonize anything, so...
A thing I've been very stubborn about is that I think it would be more disrespectful for them to dismiss all of the endings by hand-waving them than to pick one. Now, that comes from me being someone who I vehemently think that Destroy is the only really real ending they can move forward in the franchise with. I don't want people who like Control or Synthesis more to feel like their endings don't matter. We could just say something out of Destroy. We're seeing that what happens if that happened. I don't know. However they would need to word it to make people happy. But my big thing has been that I believe, personally, as a player and as someone who commentates or whatever, all the stuff, that I think you make way more people mad, at least older fans, existing fans, by dismissing everyone's choices than by going forward with the choice that the most people have gone forward with, supposedly according to their own metrics. I have no idea if that's true, but I think more people could say, I prefer this ending, but yeah, fine, Destroy ending is where we're moving forward because that's the easiest thing to do or whatever. Instead of everyone being like, "What? Hey, why'd you guys get rid of all of our endings?" But no, I think you're right.
In a game series whose success was founded and built upon the premise that your choices mattered, I don't think that it's a very wise idea if they choose to go forward in the series by dismissing everyone's choices. Your bread and butter was the fact, and the way that you've hooked so many people is that your choices mattered from game to game. And Andromeda sidestepped it, right, by being an interquel and then putting it in so far away that nothing else mattered. That I can understand the justification. We need to, you know, branch out and have something in a different galaxy and maybe make a new kind of IP within this IP. But if they're going to link it like the marketing material has implied for so many years or a few years in a row now,
mm-hmm.
and then they just sidestep it, hand wavy justification away. It's been so fun, you know, so far in the future, who really knows what happened, man. If you ain't got the nerve to address the most contentious video game ending that I know of,
same,
then you may as well just end the series like The Sopranos in the middle of a fucking sentence.
Sure. Yeah. It's very interesting. And it's one of those things that I know when I was listening to you and Tom talking on the Lorecast about how, at least, and I'm paraphrasing, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you basically said something to the effect of, it's doing this stuff adds more vitriol into a community that has enough vitriol already. People who already live or die by the ending they prefer and will argue about it endlessly 10 years later. And people who, you know, think that this romance is the best one or that destroying the collector base or saving it is the right. Like, people already have plenty of things to argue about in this franchise and within the community, that doing this kind of stuff seems to only kind of exacerbate that. And the Andromeda thing, when I saw that pop up, I just remember, like, I'll have to be totally honest, like, my heart sunk. Like, my stomach, like, dropped. I was like, oh, come on. Like, can't we just leave that a mystery for a little bit longer? Like, let's not jump into that. It's just, it's, and kind of what you were saying is interesting to me, is that I people are so stuck on this number 600. Because we know it took 600 years for them to get to Andromeda. In that thing. And I always see people reference, like, well, I think the next game is going to take place 600 years after Mass Effect 3, roughly in the time that they arrived in Andromeda, and that the events of Andromeda happened, and then we got to the ending of that game. And my whole thing is that unless, and they probably will, unless they introduce some stuff that we don't know about yet, which is very likely, we shouldn't be hearing anything back from Andromeda for 1,200 years, really.
Yes, for now, the signals to come back.
Yes. Now, maybe signals travel faster. This is where I realize this is where they're probably going to get creative. But from what we know so far, there's no reason to believe that we are hearing anything within 1,200 years. So now are we telling ourselves that this game is going to take place 1,200 years after the trilogy? Well, then how's Liara a part of this? Because she, even her being so young in the trilogy, probably shouldn't be alive if that's the case. Now, obviously, I'm being kind of facetious here. Like, I understand that they're almost certainly going to do something that I may love or hate, you know, to explain all of this. But it goes back to what we were saying at the top of, or at least what I was saying, all of the theories and all of the hopes and all of the little things I had, they're just all gone. I'm a blank canvas at this point. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Like, maybe zero expectations.
I think that's the point, honestly.
It might be, sure. They might be throwing so many red herrings at us, they just want us to not know what to think at all, because they probably don't know exactly what they're doing yet. And that's why, like you were saying, they probably can't confirm anything, because they probably don't, nothing's probably concrete enough for them to tell us anything yet.
Which is fine. That's fine. You know what I mean?
Make that clear.
Yes, exactly. But make it clear. You know, I want to contrast this to the marketing that Bethesda had for Starfield, because I thought that Bethesda's marketing was great. It was a good balance between the marketing team pushing for more details and Todd Howard's well-known proclivity for keeping the cards close to the vest.
Yeah.
You remember Fallout 4? I mean, they released that trailer and then they were like, and guess what? It's coming out in a few months. Bye.
Yeah.
That was very close to the vest, maybe too close for the marketing team's own liking. But then Starfield, you know, they released a little bit at a time and it didn't really
tell you too much. We knew it existed.
We knew it existed. We knew the setting, right? We knew general things about it. But we had no real narrative clue of where the game was going to go, besides some little hints and sprinkles every now and then. And then they had that showcase when they were ready.
And they had something to show,
And they had something to show, right? They showed game functionality. They showed a little bit of the story. And then the game came out not too long after that, even though it had gotten delayed.
Yep.
And so I feel like the balance between pushing out details as fast as possible to keep a player base enticed, and they balanced that with developers' need to keep things under wraps until they were ready to talk about them. And I feel like it served Starfield pretty well.
Yep. The thing I'll always remember about Starfield is that when I clicked on that executable file to start it up, I still wasn't sure if there were going to be aliens in it. I still didn't know, I didn't know a lot about that game still. Now, maybe I missed on some stuff. Maybe I didn't know everything I could have known. But it was great. I had no idea what I was getting into. And I ended up having a really good experience. So, So this blog, this stuff leading up to the trailer was interesting. To jump into the trailer, I will do a brief description of what we saw, and we can hit a few of the things I noticed, and I'm kind of curious to your thoughts on some of it. Okay, and that is part one. I will post part two at the same time as this one, so you can get both of them, but I wanted to make it a little more digestible. So in the second part, we go more into some more longer term thinking, and we do have some of that exclusive information about the next couple games for BioWare, so be sure to check that out. Thank you so much for listening. Please interact with the show in any way you can, in the Discord or on the YouTube comments and so on and so forth, and let me know if you have any feedback or thoughts on the podcast. You can find me all over the internet as Bon Diesel, especially over there on Twitch, where I do stream a few times a month, and I multi-stream here on YouTube and there. So pick your poison. I will be on both, and we can talk about some of this stuff live. To support my content, please check out patreon.com/bondiesel. Join as a YouTube member. Subscribe over at Twitch, especially with your free Prime sub. Or check out some merch or other things that I do in my Linktree link in the description. That's all I have. So until next time.